bank needs $75 billion. The CDC says 896 new cases of the swine flu in 41 states. President Obama pushing Congress to cut almost $17 billion in programs. We're going to dive into all of that, plus movies, the new Star Trek movies out. I'm not a Trekkie, but I'm even interested in this one. But first, this is a huge story, not just in Dallas, where we have an affiliate, KVCE, but also across the nation. A lot of people have emailed me on it today. Dirk Nowitzki, one of the stars of the Dallas Mavericks, of course, in a tough situation with his team down two games to Denver, heading into a huge game, needless to say, home game. Saturday, this weird story breaks involving a woman Nowitzki apparently was dating. She says they were engaged, and she's pregnant, 37-year-old Crystal Taylor. She's in jail, arrested on, no joke, several outstanding warrants. She's used at least eight different aliases, and this doesn't begin to cover this deal. Here's what he said at practice today.
Pretty obvious I'm going through a tough time in my personal life right now, but like I always have, I want to kind of keep my private life private, and I don't want to just... I really am not at the stage where I can talk about it yet and feel comfortable talking about it, so more than happy to answer basketball questions, but I think at this point... I just can't talk about it.
So do you feel like you'll be able to compartmentalize this with the Game 3 coming up?
Well, I think I'm looking forward to Game 3. You know, we're down 0-2, and I'm trying to focus on basketball as much as I can.
All right, Mike Fisher with DallasBasketball.com and ESPN 103.3 FM always has the scoop. This guy is the best, bar none. Very pleased he's joining us. Mike, thanks for popping on the show. We appreciate it.
How are you, miss? Good to talk to you again.
Oh, it's very good to talk to you, my friend. Hey, this is a wild story, and I was reading everything that you wrote about it, and you just nailed it head on. What is the deal with this woman? Was he completely duped by this, do you think?
You know, I guess we can start at the start and simply say that it's an athlete, and he met a girl or a woman, and they fell for each other. And how much of it was a little bit of a con? You know, as I said earlier, I know this makes me sound like a cynical non-romantic, but, you know, everybody that falls in love is a little bit of a con. and so away they went. There are differing reports on how long they've known each other, but certainly more than a year. And they fell in love. And she moved into his, mansion in Preston Hollow, right down the street from Ross Perot. As you know the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And she, for all intents and purposes, was his wife. That's the way her side's gonna phrase it. And then in terms of the way that she interacted with the rest of the team and the other wives and employees and whatnot, I mean, she was his girlfriend, there's no doubt about that. And, I'm quite certain, given the fact that she's worn a huge rock on her finger, since at least the beginning of the year, as she goes to most Mavericks home games and sits with the family and the rest, that they were indeed engaged. And then, recently something happened, and something probably has to do with, as it often does in these kind of cases, when romance and finance and legality all come to a head. You know, I don't know, prenup is the kind of thing that might jump out.
Right.
Maybe she objects. Maybe his friends finally get him to start listening that this isn't quite what you're looking for, Dirk. And the next thing you know, there's authorities at his door getting ready to drag her away. And we just found this out tonight. Not only were the authorities there to arrest her for the felony warrant that's out for, they are also there to evict her from a house that obviously he didn't want her to be in anymore.
Wow. And is it true, too, that he hired a private eye to look into her and this might have started the whole thing?
Yeah, and again, this could have been the organization being involved in the actual arranging for the private eye, but it's Dirk's side, I guess, Dirk's camp that almost certainly was involved in trying to do more research on his fiance. And I think when they/he realized that she had aliases, that would be kind of a red flag. I mean, the heart wants what the heart wants. But when you find out that your fiance has gone by eight different names over the course of the last 4 years, that should be a cause for alarm.
Yeah, no kidding. And supposedly, Mike, he didn't know how old she was, and then she's saying from prison that she's pregnant?
Yeah, let's do the age thing first. And again, and you've been around professional sports for your entire life.
Yeah.
You know, this is the part of it. You know, I hear people making fun of the way she looks, or even making fun of her age, maybe even making fun of her ethnicity. None of that's fair game to me. I'm a really ugly guy, but every once in a while, you know, I've gone out with an attractive woman, and it happens.
You're not ugly.
that's very sweet of you to say. I don't get bogged down too much in that. Now, you meet a woman in the hotel lobby in Houston, which is almost, I believe that story's true. She tells you that she's a couple years younger than she really is. She tells you that she's less experienced than she really is. And you're Dirk, and you know Dirk a little bit. He gullible's too strong, but guileless is about right.
Right.
I think that she probably used some deception in order to speed their way down to the track of love. Now, the pregnancy part, you know, there's no officials that are saying that, and she hasn't said it herself. She's got a best friend here who hangs out with her and goes to the Mavericks games and all the rest, who is almost certainly the source on these stories, the person who's releasing videotapes and the person who's giving secret quotes, and she's not hiding it very well because everybody who's involved with the Mavericks knows who this woman is, the friend of Miss Taylor or Miss Williams. Again, they've just got eight names with different spellings of Crystal and the rest. I haven't quite written this, but I'll say this to you because I know that you can handle it in a way that won't allow me to sound too politically incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
In this sort of circumstance, once you're in the process of breaking up with your sweetheart, and she screams from her prison cell that she's pregnant, I wouldn't go ahead and start making up the baby's room just yet. Is that a fair enough way to say it?
No, I agree with you. I mean, that's a ploy to me. I agree. Absolutely, you can say that. I agree. Who knows what – it's a thing to throw out there, but we'll see. I agree. I wouldn't start making up plans and have a baby shower or anything like that. Mike, we're kind of up against it, but is this a distraction at all for the team? Obviously, they're trying to keep a lid on it and not make it a distraction, right?
You know, there's a lot of different ways to spin that one. I think Dirk's history suggests – that focus isn't an issue for him. In fact, if this was going on over the last week or so, and I believe it was, he certainly didn't show any problems on the court. I will even suggest this, and this is a column that I'm writing for tomorrow on DallasBasketball.com. If he's been trying to get her out of his life for the last couple weeks or the last couple days, and now she kind of is, not only would this not be a distraction, it might prove to be a relief.
Yeah, boy, no kidding, I guess, if this has been going on. You're right, absolutely. Wow. Mike, a pleasure to have you on this show. We'll see what the Mavericks do on Saturday if they can bounce back. I think they will. Do you think so?
You know, they're so good at home. Since the All-Star break, they're 17-1 at home. That's the good news. The bad news is that one loss was to Denver.
Yeah, Denver, exactly. You said it. Mike, you're great, as always. We'll talk to you again down the road. Thanks for popping on ATN.
Continued success to you. Thank you.
Coming up next, acclaimed historian William Federer joins us to give us the scoop on Mother's Day.
Americans, do you know where your food comes from? Is it safe, secure, and healthy? Did you know most of our food is now contaminated with genetically modified ingredients? We at Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company have been helping people get pure garden seed for 12 years and carry over 1,200 varieties of GMO-free heirloom seed. Go to www.rareseeds.com for more information. That's rareseeds.com. Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company was started in 1998 by a 17-year-old as a hobby. It was developed out of a passion for preserving our vegetable heritage. The company now offers the largest selection of pure heirloom seeds, strive every year to bring back varieties like our forefathers grew. In times like these, we can't trust the government to keep our seeds safe. Every year at Baker Creek, we work to preserve the best of the oldest for future gardeners. We also offer affordable seed collections for long-term storage. Go to www.rareseeds.com and get your seeds from America's pure seed source. That's rareseeds.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the physician's desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Chews for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to orderchews.com.
Wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up.
Well, one thing we don't want to get lost in all the conversations that we're having here on America Tonight, coming up around the bend, including everything that's going on in the Beltway, is the fact that Mother's Day is, of course, coming up this weekend. Hopefully you're doing something for your mother, or you've sent flowers or done something else appropriate. I sent my mother a facial thing, and let me explain. She's coming to visit, so she can use it when she comes to visit me. It's perfect because I'm going to make her walk the dog every day. She doesn't know that part of it. All right, here we are in America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging with you. You can shoot us an email day or night at americatonight.net. As I said, it's a real pleasure to invite someone on the show, as I love history and I love to find things out. Many of you are the same way. So we've got acclaimed historian William Federer joining us here. And if somebody knows about this holiday, he certainly is the guy that knows about the holiday. He has an American Minute radio feature that airs nationwide. Some of you may have heard it. Thanks for popping on the show, William. We appreciate it.
Great. Kate, great to be with you.
You know, a Mother's Day, I mean, I have to confess, and I purposely didn't look this up since I knew you were coming on. I know what Mother's Day is about, but I don't know how it all started and when it became a holiday. So take us back and tell us when we first recognized Mother's Day.
Well, after the Civil War, a lot of attention of the activists in the country went toward women's suffrage. And so women moved into the spotlight, and Julia Ward Howe, and we know her because she's the one who wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic, she came up with the idea for a Mother's Day and sort of funded it in several different cities across the country. And for about the 10 years that she funded it, it went on. But after she died and stopped funding it, it stopped in all those cities except Boston. It continued for a little while longer. But it was not until Anna Jarvis, her mother had died, and Anna began a campaign for her church to celebrate Mother's Day as the second Sunday in May, as the anniversary of her mother's death. And her mother, during the Civil War, had Mother's Day work clubs to care for the wounded soldiers, both Union and Confederate. And, of course, this is before the days of antiseptics and washing your hands, and so surgeons would
do the surgery on the battlefields and then work on the next patient without washing their hands in between. And so there were a lot of casualties. And so it was these mothers that were doctoring these young boys and soldiers. And so Anna Jarvis's mother helped raise money for medicine, inspected bottled milk. There was no FDA back then, and helped arrange for women, hired women to care for families where the mothers suffered from tuberculosis. So she was really involved, and Anna Jarvis persuaded her church to honor her mother. And then she got the National Sunday School Association to get behind it. And she actually quit her job, and Anna Jarvis spent years writing letters to politicians and state leaders, and they tried having a national Mother's Day, but in the early 1908 era, and it was voted down. But finally, enough pressure came on it, and the YMCA, the Young Men's Christian Association, got behind it, and then finally it passed. In about 46 states, and then it was Woodrow Wilson that made it a national holiday in 1914. He signed the bill, and the first official place to recognize Mother's Day was in Grafton, West Virginia. But just a fascinating story. I love the one quote from Ronald Reagan. He, in his Mother's Day address, 1986, said, "A Jewish saying sums it up best: God could not be everywhere, so he created mothers." And I thought, isn't that special? But
that is very special.
And ever since Woodrow Wilson, every president's declared a Mother's Day, and then the first proclamation, Woodrow Wilson said it was a day for public expression of love and reverence for all the mothers of our country, and so Anna spent years. Popularizing this, and then as things would have it, the floral industry really got into the selling of the carnations and the flowers, and Anna didn't like that. She thought this was a commercialization, sort of like, you know, we sort of make that complaint maybe with Christmas or Valentine's Day. It's like, you know, it's too commercialized. But on the other hand, if it wasn't commercialized a little bit, then it wouldn't be promoted. And so, but she spent the last years of her life actually fighting to try to decommercialize it, but she was not obviously successful in that. But we do credit her with spending the effort to campaign for the country to declare Mother's Day. And then it wasn't but 6 years later that women did get the right to vote in America in 1920. So just a very active time in the country after the Civil War up to the 1920.
Yeah, no kidding. And then there's a thing of, and I didn't think about this, I guess, until recently, but realized this, that Mother's Day is always something that we look at as the second Sunday in May, and there's a reason behind this?
Yeah, that's simply because that was the day that Anna Jarvis's mother died, and so she picked that. But it is sort of interesting that you look back in history, and the Catholic Church for years celebrated May to honor Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then it would broaden to Mothering Day, and so it sort of honored all the mothers, and so sort of fell into a holiday that had been celebrated in Europe, but it was not celebrated in Protestant America, and so this Mother's Day sort of brought back that old holiday, and there is a little bit of a connection between Mother's Day and Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And people say, well, how could that happen?
That? Yeah.
Well, they both happened after the Civil War, and the same way that Anna Jarvis's mother cared for wounded soldiers, both Confederate and Union, and she organized these Mother's Day Works Clubs to take care of these soldiers who were wounded, that after the Civil War, women would go out and put flowers on the graves of those soldiers that had died, and both Southern, Civil War, Confederate, and Union. So these mothers would put the flowers on all the graves, and it started in the South. And in 1868 is when there was a first Memorial Day celebrated on May 30th, and then it was. to honor those that had died in the Spanish-American War and World War One, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, you know, all the way up to the war on Islamic terror. And sometimes people get it confused. Memorial Day is to honor our military dead. Veterans Day is to honor our military alive. And that's in November. But in 1968, exactly 100 years after the first Memorial Day, is when Memorial Day was moved to the last Monday in May. And that was the three-day weekend bill that Lyndon Johnson signed in so that any holiday that happened in the middle of the week would be put onto a Monday so that you could have a three-day weekend. But
we like that, certainly.
Yeah.
It is good because then you can have a memorial service and you can visit various places to honor people who have given their life, certainly in the previous wars, the wars that you mentioned, and then spend time with your family, actually.
It is, and it's important for us to remember our roots and go back. And a little personal trivia, the soldier from World War One was placed in the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in 1921, and every Memorial Day a president would lay a wreath there. And then after World War Two, another soldier was put in there, and then it was Ronald Reagan that put a soldier in from Korea and Vietnam. And during the years following the Vietnam War, some parents felt like they knew that the body that was put in the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier from the Vietnam War was a pilot, and they researched it, and sure enough, it was their pilot that was shot down in North Vietnam in 1971. And they found, you know, it took a lot of arm twisting, but they finally opened the grave, did a DNA test, and found out the pilot's name was Michael Blassie, and find out that he was from my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri, and he went to my high school, St. Louis University High School, and he was about 7 years older than me. And so they moved his remains from the Arlington Cemetery to St. Louis, Missouri, to Jefferson Barracks Cemetery.
Wow. But, how about that? That's fascinating, fascinating stuff. Now I'm just going to, now in my mind, I'm just going to keep thinking about Anna Jarvis especially. Thank you so much for joining us. That was terrific information, William Federer. We appreciate it. And if people want to check out your website, where do they need to go?
It's AmericanMinute.com.
AmericanMinute.com. Got it. We'd love to have you back on. Will you come on again?
I'd love to, Kate.
Excellent. That was good stuff, boy. Let's see if Matt Johnson can remember it. Coming up next on ATN Stress Test, I'll tell you all about it.
Concerned about their constitutional rights.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeed.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
You already know that drinking pure high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
Did you catch the ABC 2020 show and how record unemployment has increased the work-at-home scams? Titillating ads lure people in claiming they can make hundreds a day. You'll never hear that from our friends at IncomeAtHome45.com. And it's their integrity that's made them a work-from-home leader. IncomeAtHome45.com is accredited by the Better Business Bureau and has an A-plus rating. That's your peace of mind. They're connected to a multi-billion dollar company doing business in 70 countries for nearly 30 years. If your dream is to work from home, to stay home and raise your family, to insulate yourself from this economy, to stop living paycheck to paycheck, go to IncomeAtHome45.com right now. People are earning life-changing money from home, and IncomeAtHome45.com is adding people in record numbers. Don't miss this chance. Visit them now. They're giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. $1,000. Visit IncomeAtHome45.com. That's IncomeAtHome45.com.
Springtime. Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all natural insecticides from FreshwaterOrganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use, an FPP to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bed bugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from FreshwaterOrganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
Show when we go to sports shorts again, we'll have more on Dirk Nowitzki and the whole thing with the Mavericks as they're down two games, taking on the Denver Nuggets Saturday night. They host that game. We're thinking of the playoffs in the NBA and, of course, on the ice as well. So we'll jump in and talk about some of that. And the big story, Manny Ramirez gone for 50 games. And we had Raleigh Fingers on the show, and he was talking. I was asking about the Dodgers because that was the Dodgers were my pick to pretty much go all the way, even though baseball is a very, very long, long, has a very long season. So it's definitely not a sprint. It's a marathon. I know that's completely a cliche saying, but it's so true. So I asked Raleigh Fingers about the Dodgers, and, of course, we both agreed that they had lots of pitching, and he went through the pitching, et cetera. And here they had this incredible start where they had reeled off these games one after another, and now one of their biggest bats gone for the lineup for 50 games. And what was it again? He got pinched with a test. And what was he using? We'll tell you about that coming up around the bend. In the meantime, Santa Barbara's on fire. Of course, there's an emergency that's been declared by the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. We were talking about that the last couple of days as I lived in Santa Barbara. It's a beautiful area, but man, you get in those mountains in Santa Ynez, and that's like wine. There's these hidden wineries. Even Fess Parker, remember him from Daniel Boone days? He has a great winery there. It goes up like that, and everybody has animals, and it's, wow, it's so scary. And we're not talking about only the super richy rich people. We're talking about the middle class people who probably are paying a fortune for the Cracker Jack boxes that they live in, because that's expensive territory right there on the beach. Hey, speaking of expensive, a couple of things here, including this one. You, if you at all tuned into anything cable-wise, then you know that Barack Obama, the president, of course, is talking about $17 billion of budget cuts. And not everybody's psyched about that. I mean, we're talking about a big, bad budget blowout. Here's what he had to say.
We can no longer afford to spend as if deficits don't matter and waste is not our problem. We can no longer afford to leave the hard choices for the next budget, the next administration, or the next generation. And that's why I've charged the Office of Management and Budget, led by Peter Ortzag and Rob Neighbors, who are standing behind me today, with going through the budget, program by program, item by item, line by line, looking for areas where we can save taxpayer dollars. Today, the Budget Office is releasing the first report in this process, a list of more than 100 programs slated to be reduced or eliminated altogether. And the process is ongoing. I want to be clear. There are many, many people doing valuable work for our government across the country and around the world. And it's important that we support these folks, people who don't draw a big paycheck or earn a lot of praise, but who do tough, thankless jobs on our behalf in our government. So this is not a criticism of them. At the same time, we have to admit that there is a lot of money that's being spent inefficiently, ineffectively, and in some cases in ways that are actually pretty stunning. Some programs may have made sense in the past, but are no longer needed in the present. Other programs never made any sense, the end result of a special interest successful lobbying campaign. Still other programs perform functions that can be conducted more efficiently or are already carried out more effectively elsewhere in the government.
All right, check this out. Here's the skinny on that. Let me cut through all the rhetoric. The cuts are going to involve about 121 programs. Pretty much half of those are defense-related, okay? And if you look at the cuts, it amounts to, Catholic school math I have, amounted to half of 1% of that entire budget, or perhaps 1.4, because someone will nail me on that if they have a calculator. So you look at, because we look at the, how much is the deficit that we're talking about that the administration is projecting for 2010? And this is part of the reason to push ahead with this, supposedly. And something else that's going to be cut, they're targeting programs like U.S. Education Attaché, of course, in Paris, the long-range radio navigation systems, and they're obsolete, payments to states to clean up abandoned mines, and early childhood education programs as well. That's another thing that's been targeted. Well, not everybody's reacting very well to this because, of course, he prefaces the statement by saying, you know, thankless jobs and they don't always get recognized and whatever. But really what it means is I think a lot of people will get squeezed out of some of those government jobs because that's $17 billion with a B they're talking about. As I said, now a lot of that is going to be defense related, no question about it. But it's going to be a big, big axe that starts swinging. And I think a lot of people weren't prepared for that. So if you're a government worker, depending on, well, especially if it's anything connected to the Pentagon, there's reason for concern, but other government workers as well. And again, catch what was prefaced in the first part of that statement. And we all know and we all hate the idea that so much has been dumped on the future generations, because I still don't think you're going to be able to clear up that mess. I just don't see how it happens unless corporations step in and start to carry some burden. But what's in it for them ultimately, right? Okay, here's another money thing that came up, and we've been talking about this a ton. And I guess, I mean, I could go off on this whole thing of the budget cuts, you know, a little bit too late and look at the proposed budget anyway. Already it was so ridiculously inflated. Well, the thing that I think gets me still a little bit more is this deal with the stress tests, okay? And I actually have bank by bank what they need. Here's what the deal is. The results of the stress tests, that's what was put into action, showed about half of the 19 big banks, right, need to raise billions in capital over the next 6 months because if they don't, it's going to cripple the economy more. Most of this had to deal with because of credit cards and mortgages. You know, you can trace it back to that. So when I tell you the banks that are in the most trouble, I don't think you'll necessarily be surprised by it. And we're talking about $75 billion. That's what they need. 10 banks need to raise $75 billion in capital. Okay? Bank of America will eat up at least half of that. Half of it. Because they're talking about a total capital shortfall of over $33 billion that has to be raised. And they're going to sell assets, and they'll issue the common stock, like $17 billion in that and whatever. But that's what they need. And we knew this. We talked about Bank of America before the other day. Citigroup needs $5 billion. Wells Fargo needs $13.7 billion. You know, and the list goes on and on and on. So bottom line is in our last show, we were talking about, you know, you might think about going local. If you have a great local bank, it might not be such a bad thing. And the problem is, will there be any kind of a run on the banks with this info now being released? And I don't necessarily think so, because there's too many people tied up with, for example, B of A. It is stunning to me, though, that they need as much as they need. I figure they would definitely have had their hand out, but the fact that they needed the most, we got to think about the mortgages and the things that they were pushing through, especially with the credit cards. It's probably why I'm paying for so much of those maintenance fees that I keep getting slapped with, because I'm probably one of their better customers. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Are you in a lending mood? Are you in a giving mood for these banks? Will it make you go local when you hear some of the names that I just threw out to you? Like, I guess the biggest, Wells Fargo, of course, and B of A. Sam is listening to us across the border in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hello, and guess what tonight's lead story was on the national news? And no, it wasn't the flu.
You're going to tell me something hockey-related or Dirk Nowitzki?
Hockey-related.
I knew it. Okay, so Phoenix, what do you want to dive into there?
the problem with the Phoenix Coyotes.
You mean the problem with the Wayne Gretzky problems from the
past? No, I don't know if you've heard. I mean, like, there's a guy, I have trouble pronouncing his name. He wants to buy the Phoenix Coyotes and move them to southern Ontario. You know, near Toronto and stuff.
Right.
But Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the league, is saying, whoa, there are league rules. You know, so right now they're in bankruptcy court because supposedly the Phoenix Coyotes have declared bankruptcy.
Oh, yeah, but they've been struggling. So
right.
They were looking desperately for somebody to buy the team.
Right.
Yeah.
Now one of his, the potential owner, I have trouble pronouncing his name.
Okay, is it by any chance, because the studio is telling me the head of BlackBerry, is that
yep.
who we're talking about?
Yep.
Milton, Ontario?
Yeah. Jim, Badovitsky, I have trouble. I even have trouble pronouncing
Jim. No, I think it's Jim Vasily.
Vasily, yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right,
anyway, so one of his representatives went to talk to the people in Hamilton, Ontario, which is about an hour west of Toronto. Now, if they move to Hamilton, they're going to have to shell a lot of money to the Toronto Maple Leafs, because, you know, the Maple Leafs are going to probably say, hey, we might lose some spectators. I know. Got to cut it short.
But they're talking about Hamilton is probably where they're going to end up. We're going to do something we never do. We're going to let you double dip. We'll swing over to the other side and finish this up, and we'll dive into sports shorts. Hang with us, everybody.
Today, we cannot afford to ignore the current state of our country, the economy, job layoffs, mass foreclosures, and now we are all at risk of being exposed to this new flu pandemic. The Center for Disease Control has declared a public health emergency across the United States. What can you do to prepare yourself? The answer is ZeroFlu.com. ZeroFlu.com offers you the very best in air purifiers. These revolutionary air purifiers protect up to 3,000 square feet of your home and stop 99.9%
99.9% of airborne allergens, influenza, bacteria, viruses, pollen, dust, pet dander, black mold, MRSA, and more. Not only from the air, but from all surfaces. With no filters to replace ever, you save money. Prepare yourself today. To learn more, visit ZeroFlu.com. That's ZeroFlu.com. Or call 888-766-6066. 888-766-6066 today. ZeroFlu.com. Protecting you and your family one day at a time.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from PepperSpray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
All right, since Sam opened the door, we're going to dive into sports shorts. Really, the bigger stories in sports, Manny Ramirez and the Dodgers, shocking stuff there for Dodger fans are furious over that. And there are a couple of other things in the NBA going on worth mentioning, too. But if we looked at hockey, the Ducks were certainly hoping to get a 3-1 edge on the Red Wings. I think it's stunning that they had that they're playing the way they're playing. Of course, you know, that can happen in the playoffs. They would be the lowest seed, though, if they went all the way to the Stanley Cup and won it. I don't even remember the last time or if it has happened in the history of the NHL. But there is the story about what's going to happen to Phoenix. And Sam brought it up. And, in fact, somebody sent me something from Fox just listening to this online in Los Angeles and saying, hey, check out our Fox Sports poll. Will Jim Vasili wind up owning an NHL team in Southern Ontario? And then they, you know, are asking yes, and it's the Coyotes, or yes, an expansion team. And then, you know, you could say absolutely no way. So, of course, across the border, obviously it's huge news, and it's huge news for the people in Phoenix if they lose their team. Now, there are some hockey heads in Phoenix, but they don't have the support that you have traditionally, I think, in the Northeast or in the northern parts of the United States and, of course, across the border in Canada. But does Canada really want that team, and how close do they want it, which was Sam's point. Hey, Sam, so you heard what I just said, that as soon as you started talking about that, I got an email from someone that told me to go to the Fox site because they had put up a poll about it on their hockey, on the hockey deal. And, in fact, he even gigged me and told me that most of the people are saying, yes, the Coyotes are definitely going to go.
Who knows? I mean, obviously, it's up to the bankrupt. It's going to be up to the judge in the bankruptcy court whether this happens or not. And also, Vasilia, you know, I still have trouble pronouncing his name. Oh, by the way, for you people who want to get up really nice and early tomorrow, one of the semifinals in the World Men's Hockey Championships tomorrow, the United States against the Russians.
Oh, that's always fun to watch.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, you're not going to get up that early. We play Sweden tomorrow, but I mean, like, obviously, it's not the best player, so you're not going to get up and you know, and watch it or follow it or whatever. But anyway, just to get back, even Vasiliev even said to Wayne Gretzky, he went off from, you know, a partial, you know, ownership. In return, he'd even built an arena and name it after his father, Walter Gretzky.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that's interesting. I had no idea about that part of it. Mm-mm.
Yeah, but I mean that's minor. And now there's one thing. I mean, Montreal's farm team is in Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, I don't know the whys and the wherefores and contracts. You know, what if an NHL team's here? Where does the team move? Whatever. I was just listening to a phone and talk show here in Montreal. They said move it up here, and I'm thinking they tried that in Philadelphia for how long were the Phantoms there for? About 12 years.
Yeah.
And now they're moving. And then I called. I said, "Do you think Montreal's big enough? Because we have the Canadians, we have our major junior team, but they play out of an arena in the suburbs." And they said, "Move it up here because, you know, you don't want to pay an arm, leg, and a foot for hockey tickets." And I think it would be right now the way the economics are, it would be a bad idea to move them to Hamilton because Hamilton's a steel city like Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah, but listen to this. You know, the NHL, they say they've got the control of the Coyotes because what happened is, if you remember this, I remember this now because I was on the air doing a show for Fox Sports Radio, and they asked back in the fall, they asked a federal judge to throw out the bankruptcy filing. So what happened was the owner of the Coyotes, Jerry Moyes, signed some documents giving control of the team to the league. So basically, they would ultimately have those documents. But the deal is that there's this U.S. bankruptcy court that's on the filing for the Chapter 11 reorganization.
Right.
The filing came as a surprise to the NHL. That's the problem. So now they've got a hearing set for May 19th
yeah.
on who's in charge of the deal of the franchise. And whether he could do that, whether he had the authority to file for bankruptcy. So it really is a big story from that point of view. My goodness.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I have to call you next week, get your new address, because remember, I owe you something.
Schwartz's?
Yes, I do believe it's to, if your new bosses will let me send it to you.
Of course they'll let you send us some Schwartz's. That's awesome that you're going to do that. We appreciate that.
Well,
of course, as always.
Yeah. Just to let your technicians know, if they would give me your new address, because I was tempted to send it to the old place, but then I went, not a good idea.
Yeah, you've got to send it. You know what you need to do? You need to send it to Minneapolis. That's where you need to send it, so that when I go up to Minneapolis, it's there.
When are you going to Minneapolis?
I'm supposed to go to Minneapolis in like a month. So hold on to that money in your wallet, and then
they gotta give. Is that where they have? You know, what your new employer's head offices?
Yeah, the new offices, the fabulous, incredible studios of GCN are located right in the belly of the beast in Minneapolis, right there in Minnesota. Yeah.
So are you moving to Minnesota? Okay, I'm not
moving to Minnesota, but that's where it's located.
Okay, so you're going up there in a month, okay?
Yeah, so, a big old trip, and so that would be fun. So then you could ingratiate yourself to all the guys in the studio. So Sam, hang on, and I'll let Matt Johnson give you that address, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot. By the way, a message from Julie. She loves you, and she asked if you were mother. I said I don't think you are.
No, because my first marriage.
Yeah.
Boom, blew apart because of the whole thing with New York and going back and forth. I'm sure everybody's loving this on the air.
Yeah.
There's so much to talk about.
But I've
said it on the air before. So, no, I'm not, but I certainly hope to be one day. So hang on.
Okay,
and we're
going
to get that information from you. So thanks for the call, Sammy. All right. I feel badly because I haven't gotten to this Manny Ramirez thing. And here's what the scoop is on Manny Ramirez. Manny has been suspended for 50 games because he tested positive. Yep, he was suspended by Major League Baseball for a drug violation. And, you know, this is this whole thing with the steroids issue again. So here you have the slugger who is helping the Dodgers be put in the position that they're in. Let's face it, I mean, pitching, et cetera, certainly is the core of this team. But his bat has been that, and it absolutely, Manny, put them in the position that they were in the playoffs. So the suspension is because he supposedly used this female fertility drug, HCG, and that was reported by the Associated Press anonymously because the banned substance wasn't announced in any of the reports. Everybody wanted to know what it was, and this is the steroid issue and all that sort of stuff. So Joe Torre said, look, it's pretty tough for us. It's tough for Manny, too, that he's the one who did wrong, and he's not trying to cover it up, but he's sorry about it, blah, blah, blah. Well, HCG is popular among steroid users because it can basically, I'm told, mitigate the side effects of ending a cycle of the drug, so the body might stop producing testosterone when users actually go off steroids, which can cause a lot of different things to happen, as you know. So his suspension was based on not on a spring training specimen, a urine specimen from then, but rather for something they had obtained afterwards. Wow. So that is really huge, and there's no way he's getting out of this. So what do the Dodgers do now? He's out for the next 50 games, and I guess, I mean, not I guess, they're just going to have to make do without him. If there was a time to be suspended, though, better now than when we get through that halfway point, although he won't be back for that. So this is 3 months after Alex Rodriguez admits using steroids. And, of course, we've got Roger Clemens being investigated by a federal grand jury to determine whether he lied when he told Congress he never used steroids. Don't get me started on that. And then Barry Bonds, who's under federal indictment. Truly sad to someone like me who is a giant baseball fan, folks. I mean, I covered baseball for a long time and really, truly love the game. It's like the game of my childhood, and it kills me to think of what these guys have done to the game. And no joke, I do think there should be an asterisk next to their names if they get into the Hall of Fame. And I don't think any of them will get into the Hall of Fame until after they're dead anyway. Hey, you can shoot me an email on that or anything else that you care to send me an email on, the stress test, the money that now we're going to have to shell out, the $75 billion or anything else in between. Send it to me at americatonight.net.